We're going to talk about the body today and try to grasp a better understanding of what the scripture means when it talks about your outward man. There's terminology in the scripture called the body, the flesh sometimes, the outward man, the old man. And it's important we understand that when it talks about the body, the outward man, that's not just talking about your fingers and your toes. You know, like if I had a friend or knew someone who had an accident and they lost their arm, that person would still be there, even if their arm was missing or their leg was missing. You know, I know people who've had a heart transplant. They actually have a heart from a different person, but they are still there. I know people who've had a kidney transplant, and they, the person, even though they have another human's kidney in them, they themselves are still there. So when the Bible talks about the body, it's not necessarily meaning body parts. It's talking about you, your personality, your soul, as we call it, the mind, will, and emotions. And what we've learned in this series of transformation is that when you were born again, you received a new nature, and that new nature brought to life your inner man, your inner body. So now your inner body is contesting against the outward body. I want to read a core verse to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you really quick. It's one of the main verses we use. In Ephesians 4, verse 22, 23, and 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created in God in true righteousness and holiness. So our inner body was quickened like our new nature was, and now it is created by God new in righteousness and holiness. Now you have an inner man that is alive and lit up by the new nature and has the same soul, spirit, or mind, desires, and emotions in your inner man that now have the ability to know God. That's what's amazing, is your inner man now is lit up by the new nature. You have a set of intellect, emotions, that allows you to know God. So when we read about the body or the outward man, it's important that we don't just think body parts. Many of us, when we start off, we think about the body. The body itself is not evil. It's not it's of this world. It's not evil. It's just of this world. And the difference when you were born again is you became a new creature, born of God, with the nature of Christ in you, and your inner man is alive and lit up by the new nature, meaning that you're torn now. You're wearing an outward body that has a set of emotions and a set of intellect and desires that are still of this world, of the carnal world. While the inner man is alive and lit up by the new nature, it is alive and it is a source of truth and holiness and righteousness. And many Christians, because they don't know this, haven't been taught this, assume that they're just saved and they are who their outward man is. The way the outward man feels about it, life, the way the outward man thinks about life. See, when you understand the body is not just your fingers and toes, it is the soul of the outward man as well, the mind, emotions. And we're not trying to fix it. That's the message of transformation. You're not trying to fix the outward man. You're not trying to educate the outward man and train the outward man to be like a Christian. You are trying to mortify the outward man while you build up the inner man with the truth of God. Many believers are trying to, their concept is, I'm trying to renew my mind, my mindset, the way I think. And so I read the Word of God and my mind is accepting the truth. And from a distance, that's okay. It looks like that's what's happening. But a miracle of miracles is happening, is you are actually gaining the knowledge of truth in your inner man. And then when that knowledge is built up, it goes over to your outward man and tells it doesn't know God. The outward man is not in the same class, in the same family as God. That's why God's replacing it at the sound of a trump. Your outward man, mind, emotions, and desires will be fall off of you and will be replaced with a new outward man when the trumpet sounds. Until then, your job is to rein it in, make it bow its knee to the new nature, and at the same time, you are mortifying the desires of it. See, when the Bible says to mortify your flesh, it doesn't mean to cut your fingers off or hurt yourself. It means to go to the desires, the intellect, the source of the natural man, and no longer live out of that, but live out of the inner man. This is all pass and review from what we've been teaching on transformation. So today we're going to just look a little more at the body. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians, and we'll start in verse 16 of chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. So you have to do something with these verses. You have an outward man that is perishing, and you have an inner man that is being renewed day by day. The outward man, the outward body, is perishing. It is drying up and getting old. It is perishing. And in the process of spiritual maturity, you are mortifying it. It is perishing. But the inner man is where the renewing process takes place. So you're not renewing your natural brain. You are actually renewing the spiritual mind. And from there, you are mortifying the thoughts of the natural man. Now, in your natural soul, you have already ideas and thoughts since your childhood of who you are. What's going to make you happy? What's going to make you successful? What's going to keep you safe? What is prosperity? What is family? The natural soul of a human has ideas and desires for you. And not all of it is evil, as we would say evil. It's not about drinking and drugs. Much of it, most of this natural soul that we fight, isn't evil things. It's just carnal things, and they limit you to what God can do through you. And most of the church world, unfortunately, is not trying to mortify their natural man. They're trying to serve God through their natural man. And God bless them. They're going to get to heaven, and God's working with them as much as they'll let him. But there's a walk of transformation that requires that you renew the new man and mortify the outward man. And your source of your emotions, the source of your intellect, becomes your inner man, no longer your outward man. And that is the victory. That is a true victory for the rest of your life when you go through this process. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, the outward man here could be called the old man in Ephesians and in Colossians. It could also be called flesh or body. Is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. This is talking about stop looking at life through the outward man, through what you see, and realize who you really is the inward man. For the things which are seen are temporary. So this outward man, outward emotions, outward soul, is temporary. It won't be with you forever. Your struggles and battles are not forever. Many times you see someone maybe who is battling a sickness for many years, and they pass away, their family members will say they're no longer in pain. They're no longer suffering. Well, because they left the source of their suffering here on this earth, the natural body, while they're in heaven. And we're believing for a revival that we can get people healed before they get to heaven. But the source of their suffering is temporary, and the outward man is temporary. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Your inner man is eternal. That's going to be with you for the rest of eternity. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, this is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, so it's still in context, still talking about the outward man and the inward man. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, so we know that if this falls, my body falls off of me, that we have a new a body from God, a house not made of with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is talking about the new external body, the new eternal body, the outward body that God's going to replace this outward body with. Your inward man has already, the inward body has already been quickened and already been brought to life. Then eventually at the sound of a trumpet, all of us believers, whether we're on the earth or in heaven, will instantly receive a new outward body. And that outward body will contain a natural material soul that will not fight God. It'll be as righteous as your inward body and as righteous as your new nature, completing the work of salvation, that you will be for the rest of eternity perfectly light and righteous, with no sickness, disease, no temptation, no sorrow, no anger, no even desire for it, because you'll be completely light. But until then, you're still wearing this old body that God left on you, which contains the natural part of your mind, emotions, and desires. But you have an inner body that also contains the spiritual side of your mind and emotions and desires. And that's why you struggle. That's why you can decide one day, I'm going to go worship God, and the next day you find yourself desiring to do things that aren't of God. That's the battle. The battle truly is to grow up the inner man so you can mortify the desires of the outward man. For in this we groan, verse 2, in this that I am stuck with this outward body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So we are groaning right now. God, please, why? I don't like this. Please, I want a new body. That's the groaning, the fight with the outward man. That's the groaning. That's the fighting that we go through. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. This will be the new outward body that we receive at the sound of the trumpet. If indeed being clothed, we shall not be found naked, meaning that he's not going to leave you without an outward body. A replacement has already been ordered at your salvation and paid for at the cross. So now you just have to wait until the trumpet sounds, and you will have a new outward body. And when that happens, your outward body will be just like this one, but it will be made of a different eternal material. But you'll already have the inward body right now. In fact, let me just go to our other famous verse in Colossians while we're here. In chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie one to another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. So here I want you to see that the lying, the source of lying, the desire for lying, is within your old man, this body. And again, I'm trying to prove to you that the body, when it talks about the body in the old man, in the outward man, is not just talking about your fingers and your toes, but is talking more about the natural part of your soul, your thinking, the natural brain, the emotions that you have. The natural soul has desires and plans for you to make you feel successful and safe, but they don't line up with God, and they're from this carnal world. And that is who we're putting off. The old man, and the source of lying, the desire to lie, to exaggerate, to build yourself up above others, comes from the old outward man. It's not you, it's your outward man that you're fighting against. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. The new man is the inner man, which is renewed in knowledge. So the inner man is where the knowledge of God goes and builds it up to where from that knowledge of God, you're able to mortify the outward man. And to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So that image is your new nature. Now I'm going back over to 2 Corinthians. For we know, verse 1, that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed. Now, I want you to take a close look. If you underline, you can underline groan. But just hold on to that thought, because we're going to see the same, almost identical example in Romans that Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the same pathway, the same battle between the outward man and the inward man. Listen, many Christians blame the devil. Many Christians want to blame the devil for their problems. And the devil does use your weaknesses and your struggles and your insecurities in your outward man to manipulate and control and to get strongholds in there. But the real battle we have isn't with the devil. The battle we have is with our outward body and transforming from living out of our outward man, our outward mind, outward thoughts, outward emotions, and begin to build up the inner man with the thoughts of God and the emotions of God. Build that up and live out of that place. Jesus did not have a problem with the devil. Meaning, when Jesus said, he has nothing of him in me, that meant that he was not moved by the devil. The devil was afraid of Jesus. This is the walk that God wants for you, to overcome the outward man so much that the devil cannot find a stronghold in there, cannot find a handle in there to control you or manipulate you with. Too many times we are chasing away the devil when we really should be spending time praying in tongues. For we are who are in this tent, verse 4, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. So we who are wearing this body groan, not that we want to lose this body. We just want to have the new body. And it tells you a little bit about when the trumpet sounds, what's going to happen is this natural mortal body will be swallowed up by life. Meaning that you're not going to have a rapture. You're not going to have a bunch of dead bodies laying on the ground of Christians that were raptured. It means that this body will be quickened instantly and changed into a spiritual body, eternal body that will be in perfect unity with our inner man. And it's because you have the new nature in you that it's already been paid for. So we will have a new outward body instantly. So we're not wanting to lose this body. I don't want to go to heaven yet. I've got work to do. You got work to do. So the cry and the groaning isn't, God, I want to go to heaven. The crying and groaning is that we are burdened with this outward body that resists us on our walk with God and tries to lead us and guide us and is very intimate for each of us in our battles, because it feels like it's us, but it's not us anymore. It's your natural man. When you see that, you'll quit blaming yourself for your struggles and saying, I'm just a loser and I am a struggler. You can start saying, I struggle with an area. Maybe say it's lying. Maybe it's exaggerating, that you find yourself exaggerating just by instinct. You went fishing and you caught a fish and you added a foot to the length of the fish or whatever. That we exaggerate. We exaggerate in our height and our weight. We exaggerate in what we do, our income. And you find yourself exaggerating all the time. And you're trying to stop it. Why? Where does that desire to exaggerate, to lie, come from? Well, quit saying that you're a liar and say that I struggle with lying and I'm overcoming it by building up my inner man where I can mortify it. I still have to manage it until I can mortify it. but it's not who I am. I struggle with that area. For we who are on this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Talking about when the trumpet sounds, we're going to receive a new outward man. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. So this is telling us that he has given us the Holy Spirit to be our helper as a down payment to our calling, to our future. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. The word guarantee here means like when you buy a house, you make a down payment, an earnest, a guarantee that you will pay the full price in full. And that every month you make a payment on your house, it goes towards the payment, and eventually you'll have the house paid in full. Well, that's the imagery of this whole process of transformation, is that you were given the new nature, it brought to life your inner man, and now he left your outward man in darkness. But he's also given you the Holy Spirit as a down payment to say, every month make your payment, and eventually, in this life, you will have in full the conquest of this natural man. The Holy Spirit is your helper, and he's a guarantee. That's the down payment. Now make your payments, pray in tongues every day, and you'll find that you will see victory in whatever area you're fighting with. You have areas in your life, probably, that you've struggled with for many, many, many years, and it's always beaten you. Some of us even decided at one point to give up trying to change because we always lose to that area. But this is the promise of transformation. Keep fighting, but don't just fight in that area. Don't just struggle and use your willpower. Focus your discipline on spending time praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit, who is your down payment, will make payments with you to build up the inner man, renew the inner man day by day, and it'll help you to mortify the outward man. So we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. See, this is talking about walking by your inner man, not your outward man. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether to be present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. So our aim as a Christian is to be well-pleasing to him. Then verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. So Paul is telling them that you are responsible for this body. So even though you may not know why you have struggles or why you're battling, you're still responsible for what you allow yourself to do while wearing this body. Many people will make an argument, well, God made me this way. There's songs about it. God made me this way. No, God did not make you in this body. He made mankind, but he didn't make you. You came from your parents, and your past, your history, helped define your natural personality, your natural soul. But now that you're born again, you have a different father, a different upbringing, a different seed. You come from the seed of Christ. Your inner man has the ability to grow in the things of God, to be renewed in the things of God day by day. So many Christians are taught right away to how to get busy for God, and so few are taught to grow in the things of God. This is not a niche message or not a little special message for special people. This should be the foundational message for every believer the moment they're saved. I'm going over to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to start in verse 10. We're going to read a little bit, and we're going to see a lot of similarities between what we read in 2 Corinthians to what we're reading in Romans 8. Verse 10. If Christ is in you, that's the new nature. If you have the new nature in you, we read the same thing in Colossians and Ephesians, how there's the image, and then there is the inner man, the new man, okay? And we read how the new man was created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is always talking about the inner body. The image is always talking, whenever you see the word righteousness or image, that is talking about the new nature. And the new nature is what started the whole process. You had to have the new nature to bring to life the inner body. The inner body, again, is not just talking about fingers and toes. The guy who has a heart transplant, does he have to get saved again because he has the different heart of someone else? Maybe he got a heart of someone not saved, and now is he not born again? We know from basic understanding that you can replace your body parts and still be you. You're still there because you are what we would call the soul. The mind, will, and emotions is attached to you. Well, the natural mind, will, and emotions was left in this body when you got born again. It was not rescued, was not fixed. It was left in darkness. While the inner man, the inner body, which contains the spiritual side of your mind, will, and emotions, was brought to life. So now, part of you, the inner part of you, the part of you that's going to last for eternity, is lit up in light as the brightest sun, while the outside of you, the outward man, was left in darkness. And they're not compatible. This is why Christians can say things like, man, God told me to do something, and I have so much fear, but I feel peace on the inside. And they're trying to isolate the two. And we have languages where we talk, but it doesn't give enough credit to it. Someone might say, yeah, don't know if I'm thinking out of the spirit or the soul. Well, really the proper way to say, I don't know if I'm thinking out of my natural part of my soul, the carnal part of my soul, or the inner man's part of my soul, the spiritual part of my soul. Which part of me am I feeling from or hearing from? So when you have peace about a circumstance because God gave you instructions, but you feel fear, well, that's a perfect example. You have both aspects of your mind and emotions and desires are conflicting light against darkness. Your inner man says, God is my Father. Yes, we can do it. Your outward man says, we're not worthy. We're not good enough. We have to earn it. So verse 10 is the heart of much of this. It says, and Christ is in you. This is talking about the new nature. The body is dead. The outward man is left dead. It's left in death. Not dead like a dead animal, but left in darkness. It wasn't rescued. God did not fix your outward man because of sin. But the spirit, now when it says the spirit here, is talking about your inner body. But the inner man is life because of righteousness. The righteousness is the new nature. The new nature is what brought to life the inner man. And now the inner man is made righteous, created by God, in righteousness, in holiness. One day we'll receive a new outer body. And he goes on to talk about this. So if Christ is in you, the new nature, the body, the outward body, is left dark, left in death, left dead because of sin. Again, the outward body is not only talking about your fingers. It's not talking about aging. It's not talking only about sickness. It's talking about the natural soul, mind, desires, and emotions was left in darkness. That's why you can't train your natural man to know God, because it's not in the same species as God, where your inner man is in the same species as Christ, because it is the nature of Christ in you that brought it to life. That's why now that you're born again, you have the capacity to know the deep things of God. Not because of your education, not because of what school you went to, but because you are a child of God. You on the inside, the inner man, is in the same family as God. Well, the outer man is in the family of this earth. The comparison I like to give is me and my dog. My dog, I love my dog loves me, but we're two different species. And dogs have different breeds. Some breeds are smarter than others, but they're still the smartest dog, no matter what breed it is, has no chance to compete against a child, a human. So I can take a piano player and hire the best piano player and let him train my dog all year long and pay him to do it, and my dog will still be the worst piano player in the world because it doesn't have the capacity to know God. Well, many Christians, they're trying to train their outward man to play piano, and their outward man is not in the same class as their inward man. So the process is you fill up the inward man, you build up the inward man, you renew the inward man with the knowledge of God. And with that renewed knowledge in the inner man, you confront the outward man, the lie, the thoughts about you, the idea of success, the idea of happiness, and you mortify it. Mortify means you kill it. And we're going to read this language here. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, the new nature is in you, the body is dead because of sin, the outward body, but the spirit, the inner body, is alive because of righteousness. So the new nature brought to life the inner body. But if the spirit of him which raised Christ from Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you have the new nature in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is not necessarily talking about your inner man breathes life to this outward body. There's some people who take this verse and think that, oh, my outward body is going to be brought, is going to gain a substance of life. I have the DNA of God in my outward body now, and I'm going to live forever. They call them no-dies. These are preachers who say you're never going to die. There used to be a whole bunch of them until they all died off. Now there's not very few of them. But they believe that you're never going to die, and they would preach, we're not going to die, we have faith, and then they started to die off, and because you can't run from that. So he's not talking here about you gaining life for healing. He's talking here about when the trumpet sounds, you're going to gain that new body. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians. Verse 12. We'll read verse 11. But if Christ is in you, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. This is the trumpet sounding. When you get a new mortal body, life swallowed up, mortality swallowed up by life, will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit, which dwells in you. So that's the new nature. That tells you how the authorization for your new outward body, eternal body, which you'll live forever in. You'll never get sick. You'll never reject God. You'll never produce a desire for sin, a desire for unhealthy things. That's the new outward body you and I are going to have when the trumpet sounds. And that's the groaning that we read about in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, brethren, because we have this new inner man, and we've left this old man is left, outward man is left, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Now, the word flesh here means the old nature. We're not debtors to the old nature because we don't have an old nature anymore to live according to the flesh. We don't have to live by the old nature. We're not condemned to it anymore because we no longer have it. You have a new nature in you. And if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So if you're not born again and live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, the new nature, and the inner man, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So see, here again, we see the deeds of the body. The body, my hand doesn't tell me what to do. I tell my hand what to do. My hand just doesn't decide to do things or to take money. And my hand serves my natural soul. So when we read about the mortification of the body, it's talking about the desires, thoughts, intents, emotions, the way you raise everything about your natural soul, mind, desires, and emotions. That is to be mortified. Mortified means you put it to death. You no longer live by it because it's been killed. Too many Christians are trying to clean up their outward man. They're trying to discipline their outward man. And we start with discipline. They try to use willpower. I'm not going to do that again. but there's a drive and a pull from the natural part of their soul, and that's what needs to be mortified. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness. So this is the first mention. Verse 16 is the first mention of the Holy Spirit. Remember how in 2 Corinthians it said that the Spirit was given as a guarantee or an earnest, a down payment? Same language, different group of people. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our new nature and our inner man, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So here we see the word suffer. It's missing in much of our Christian language, but it's not talking about sickness or disease or even poverty. The suffering here is the battle that you're going to go through that God had to leave you in with your outward man. It's a personal trench warfare some days, deciding which path you're on, deciding who you really are. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time, so again, this suffering is what you are left in every day, having to overcome your natural desires. To me, it would be the battle of what happens when you spend time praying and worshiping God and how much your natural man doesn't like that, tries to get you busy rather than growing. The church needs to quit being so busy and grow up or transform. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As you grow, the inner man is renewed, the outer man is mortified and perishing. There is a glory that's going to be revealed in you that comes from you not giving in to the outward man and not living through your outward man. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So creation itself is going to be replaced, quickened. There'll be at the end, this earth will be burnt up and be replaced with a new earth. And the universe itself will be burnt up and folded up like a garment and be replaced with a new universe, one that is not corruptible. Satan corrupted this whole creation of God through Adam. And God's job has been since then to replace it with a new earth, a new children of God, a new universe, and that's where we live eternity, in the new earth, on the new earth, in the new universe with God. For creation was subjected to vanity or futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So God willingly put the earth in this battle with the hope that we're going to have a new earth. And he says that because he also did the same thing with you. He willingly picked a fight with you where you would struggle, inner man versus the outward man. You would struggle with the call of God on your life versus the desires of your natural man. You would struggle, and he willingly did that with the hope that you and I would finish the job, would complete the job. I understand that most Christians will never complete their work, their job, will never allow the Holy Spirit to finish their calling, their transformation in this world. They still go to heaven if they don't lose their salvation. They still get to go to heaven without being perfect. And none of us will be perfect, I'm pretty sure, and we'll be glad we got to heaven. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. That's what he's saying, all the earthquakes and and floods and all that. It's kind of like birth pains waiting until the new earth is put into place. Everything's waiting for the work to be done. God's work is not done on this earth yet. It will be. There is an end times, and we're getting closer to it. Every minute, you're closer to the end. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. See, you yourself, he's comparing the battle the earth is in, waiting for it to be re-quickened into a new earth, to you personally also have the same battle within your own self, the natural man versus the inner man. And it says here, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. See, we are eagerly waiting till the time that this body will be quickened. And your problem isn't just with your body. It's not your hands and your toes. It's not even your heart and your liver. It's talking about the natural part of your soul that's within this body. The mind, the emotions, the desires, the voice that tells you who you are, how to be happy, the part of you that was molded in your youth, that's the part that must be mortified. Not only that, verse 23, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. This is right along lines with 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, which we read. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? So this is the hope. You're going to get a new body. There'll be a trumpet sound in your future. In your future, there is a trumpet that's going to sound, and you'll see this outward body. And with the outward body, every desire to sin, every desire of insecurity, every desire of pride, every desire to rebel against God, every desire for sin, every ability to take sickness and disease, to age, when the trumpet sounds, you will have a new body. And that's the hope. God, I can't wait. That's the groaning. I can't wait till I have a new body that doesn't fight me every day when I try to serve God. When I first went to the prayer closet, my outward man was excited because it thought, we're going to get a new car and a big house. By praying in tongues, God's going to give us a big ministry. And after a while, it figured out that it was not gaining ground. It was losing ground. And the moment my outward soul figured out that I was losing ground, it was losing ground in my life by me praying in tongues. All of a sudden, it released a bunch of chemicals, emotions of defeat, discouragement towards spending time praying. And you hear this a lot with people who start praying in tongues. They start off excited, but after a while, they feel unmotivated to pray. Well, that's because your outward man, the outward part of your soul, is punishing you for mortifying it, for doing something that doesn't benefit it. And it's releasing those chemicals of defeat and discouragement to punish you, to get you to stop. If you go do what it wants, it will reward you the same way. And this is part of the groaning and suffering that we have as Christians, that I don't let my outward man tell me who I am or what to do anymore. I live by the Spirit of God and by the directions of God and by the inner man, the renewing of my inner man. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So the waiting with perseverance means not that I just sit and wait until one day I'll die and go to heaven. Gloria, gloria, glorious. And I can't wait to go to heaven. No, the perseverance means that you are now, because you have a hope that you're not supposed to live by this outward man. In other words, one day this outward man will no longer lead you or tell you who you are. So don't live in it anymore. Start living by the inner man and mortifying the outward man. And that's the hope. And we perseverance is I'm working towards that every day by day, renewing my new man, renewing my inner man, day by day by day, filling it with the knowledge of God, filling it with the truth of God. And I am building up that new man, and then I'm able to put on the new man in my life over the old man. I no longer live by the outward natural soul that's in this natural body, because I won't live there forever anyway. It's going to be replaced. So why would I even invest another day into it? Why would I invest another minute into it if it's going to be replaced anyway? That's the perseverance. That's the suffering. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit here, also helps in our weaknesses. Again, remember the comparison between 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you pray in tongues, you're praying the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God for your life. It's impossible for you to transform in this world without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can analyze yourself and find weaknesses and find your shortcomings, and you can begin to try to work on making them better. But the outer man isn't to be cleaned up and shined up. Your job is to mortify the outward man. And the Holy Spirit knows why. The Holy Spirit knows exactly how that stronghold got into you that makes you think a certain way, makes you act a certain way, makes you desire certain things. Why do you think that you desire things that other people don't? And other people have battles that you don't. I have a dear loved one who has a problem with drugs. And I remember getting so upset when they lost their home and their family, all because of drugs. Why would you throw all that away for a stupid powder, a stupid high? What is wrong with you? Well, see, in their mind, it's their world. It's their battle. Well, I have my own battles, maybe not as extreme, but I have my own battles. And the worst ones are the ones who are hidden under being good, but they're still of the carnal world, of the carnal man. God wants us to face our outward man by building up the inward man. And when we understand that the body is not just the skin and your toes, it's not just hunger, it's not even just bad sin, it is everything that comes from the carnal man. The carnal man is not evil. It's just carnal. It's from this world. It's from this earth. Somehow, I don't know how a cow eats grass. I eat the cow, and my body makes skin and fingernails and hair. This earth body, this earth suit, this vessel is of this earth, and it contains the natural soul as well, mind, emotions, and desires. But thank God when I got born again, my inner body came to life. And now I have an inner man that has a mind that is lit up by God's light and emotions, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I have access to those emotions, and I can cause those emotions and the spiritual man to grow in knowledge, to make it grow up in the knowledge of God. I have that capacity if I spend the time with the help of the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment for my calling. And the Holy Spirit will shine a light on the areas of my flesh that are where the stronghold lies. That's where all, if you're broken, it's in your natural man. If you've been used and hurt, that unforgiveness, the desire for unforgiveness, the anger, the desires for sin, the desires for anything not of God lies within your natural man. That's why when you get to heaven, there's no sorrow, there's no sadness, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no insecurity in heaven, there's no pride in heaven, because the source of all those things is your natural soul, mind, and emotions that lives within the natural carnal being, this body, which was left dead, while the inner man was brought to life. So you have a new source of emotions. If you build it up, you'll find that there's a love there that's the love of Christ. There's a peace there that's the peace of Christ. And the devil is afraid of those because he can't stop them. And so the job of a Christian immediately should be to start building up the inner man. So from that renewing process, you can begin to mortify the thoughts, deeds, and desires of the outward soul. That's the outward body. Well, I hope I helped you a little more to see a little deeper in the scripture, the inner man and the outward man, and know that you are winning every moment you pray in tongues, every moment you spend worshiping or in the word. It may not feel sometimes that anything has changed. I prayed in tongues for 3 hours and it didn't seem like nothing happened. Amazing miracle happened. You just don't realize it yet, but you will see the fruit of it. It will come forward as it grows and begin to help you to overcome at the very root the desires that you fight with, the insecurities, the fears, the pride, whatever it may be that you fight with. And that's why we don't judge each other too hard, because you may be fighting with one thing, but I'm fighting with my own thing. But I'm on a path of victory, and so are you. Let's keep praying in tongues. Let's keep building up and renewing that inner man and mortifying the outward man. We don't have to wait till heaven. We got a world to change. Let's do it. I want to encourage you, go pray, go worship, go get in the word. It'll change your future. Thanks again for being with me. God bless you.